Today in Libya, pro-democracy forces continue their march into Tripoli, but they've been held back by Gaddafi forces, while the leader is yet to be found. In the U.S., President Obama issued a statement to the Libyan rebels.
The opposition should continue to take important steps to bring about a transition that is peaceful, inclusive, and just.
Obama's speech points to the hope that a coalition government may become a reality. International focus is turning to the rebuilding of Libyan society, particularly in one previously underreported area, the fate of Libyan women. Recently, Libyan-American activist Yusor Tekbali wrote in the Huffington Post that women are beginning to organize and participate in rebuilding Libya. She called for support inside and outside the country as women evolve and find their footing in free Libya. Joe Wakeham is the founder of the Australian Arabic Council. He acknowledges that the revolution offers a much-needed change for women.
Well, I mean, my hope would be that it isn't a lot worse. Gaddafi is, at the very least, deranged. I think that if there is going to be a change for the better in Libya, it needs to be one where women are affirmed to be intelligent players within society. It is very unclear at the moment what the end result is going to be, because with the National Transitional Council, so far we are hearing far more male than female voices, if that's of any indication. If we look at what's happening in the neighbouring state of Egypt, where women were very much on the front foot and they were the faces that we had seen on the screens at the peak of the revolution, one would only hope that they would reap the benefits of that and be given positions of power and influence.
Several months ago, the story of Iman al-Abadi, a woman who was sexually abused by Gaddafi forces, was censored when she expressed her support for Libyan rebels. But as The Wire reported on Monday, there is a lot of insecurity over the post-rebellion government, which may translate to uncertainty over the rights of women. Minerva Nasiruddin at Flinders University says the outcome could easily go two ways.
In essence, it's more or less planning to create a multi-party democracy with Sharia law or Islamic law as the principal source of legislation. So I think it comes back down to who is actually going to be leading the Transitional National Council, where they are actually positioned on the spectrum of political Islam, where they're in fact moderates, which would suggest that they in turn will perhaps encourage female participation in a new Libya, while if on the other hand it is more the conservative Muslims who do end up taking the reins of power in a new Libya, might suggest that they'll be a lot more conservative in their approach to women's rights.
How NATO forces will aid in establishing women's rights is also yet to be seen.
I think whenever I hear the word human rights being used as a veneer or as an excuse for Western intervention, I'm extremely cynical because it just does not have any integrity. My expectation would be that if Tripoli goes down or the government of Tripoli goes down, that the NTC would have to swiftly step in. And I would expect that NATO would not step out. I would expect that NATO would want some return on their investment. And I can't imagine them walking away and saying, well, that was a good deed in the name of human rights. And I think they'll want some share of the oil reserves that we all know are at the heart of Libya's economy. I'm not so optimistic. I think that these sorts of cultural changes will take a lot longer than one revolution.
For women in Libya, the future offers tremendous change, but also great uncertainty.
A new era of Libyan politics, so it's all yet to be seen. It's very much crystal ball gazing at the moment.